If I were to ask you now, how many, by the show of hands, you have overcome? The show of hands. Don't feel like it, you haven't. So, next question. How many of you are now dealing with circumstances, situations, pain, sin, or any of those type of things that prop up? All right. So I saw hands that say you have overcome come up again. That's great. That's good. Because I've learned a whole lot through these scriptures. You know, the name of Jesus is known to, I'm not going to fall short to say, billions of people. Perhaps more than any other name on earth. Yet so few know anything about him. Even fewer have given themselves to him. Now, a challenge exists for those who profess his name to live as a people who have given themselves, body, mind, and spirit, over to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. John is writing to the seven churches in the book of 1 John. He is writing to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And you will see in a moment, now seven is a number of completion. So this is a message to all churches for all times. And he is talking to the whole congregation. And he says, I want to tell you something. Let me tell you this. He said in 1 John 5 and 1, I'm just going to use the first opening. He starts the verse with whoever, meaning that it is possible to be in church, in the congregation, and not be one of the overcomers, and not to overcome. Because he says, he is talking to everybody. Then he comes down to the individual and he says, let me tell you something personally. And he says in verse 5, he opened up the he who. Now, forget all the people that's sitting around you, because it is whether you decide to overcome, because your neighbor can't overcome for you. But he tells the whole church, again in verse 4, he says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, wait a minute, John. First of all, he said, he's talking to everybody. Then he started talking to me individually. And now he says that if you are born of God, everyone is an overcomer. Everybody who has come to Christ has overcome. That's what he's saying. The Greek word for overcome means to prevail, to win one's cause, or to be victorious in different and difficult situations. So it has to do with being victorious in the midst of whatever the circumstances are that are legitimately holding you hostage. So right now, if you have something that should not be holding you hostage, but is holding you hostage, then you need to be an overcomer, because that is what this word means. But then again, I asked John, but John, why are you telling me this? That I have overcome. Why are you telling me this extra stuff? Well, in the book of Revelation, John came back in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and he tells me, you need to overcome. When John says we have overcome, he is dealing with your legal status when he says you have overcome. Christ has made every believer an overcomer legally. But what you have legally does not mean that is what you are experiencing personally. If you're unhappy and married, doesn't mean that you're unmarried. It makes you a miserable and married. If you're defeated and a Christian, doesn't make you an unchristian. It makes you a defeated Christian. So what is he trying to tell us? Is that the goal is to make our legal status a reality. So that is why the word is, you have overcome spiritually, legally, because you have come to Christ, but you may not have overcome in terms of working things out in your life, in terms of you experiencing it right now. In fact, the only reason you need to overcome is there's something to overcome. To overcome means to overrule a sin or the set of circumstances that's illegitimate. So I want to say to you as we move forward, whatever is illegitimate in your life, your sin, whether it be sin or circumstances, God wants you to overrule and not have it overruling you on an ongoing basis. Therefore, God wants you to experience overcoming. Now, some people say we can get a little deeper than that, but we're going a little bit lower in this. One of the reasons why God allows some things that he does not approve is to give you an experience of being an overcomer. Now that I messed your mind up a little bit, let me tell you this. God does not sin. God doesn't endorse sin. But God allows things throughout Scripture that he does not approve of in order to demonstrate his greater glory. Now, if we intentionally do things, that will bring consequences. And those consequences can be bad. The Bible makes it clear to understand, now stay with me here just a little bit, to understand the key of being an overcomer is whatever needs to be overcome in our lives, you have to, now listen to this, being in a position to look that, you have to look at Jesus differently. I said look at Jesus differently, you'll see it in a minute. That is what we really want to be an overcomer. Before John ever gets into talking about being an overcomer, and he talks about being overcome in Revelations chapter 2 and in Revelations chapter 3. But I'm talking about Revelation chapter 1. Because he begins the chapter, first chapter of Revelations, first verse of the book, he's saying, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's his introduction. In other words, he is going to disclose Jesus to us. In verse 4, he says, I'm writing to the seven churches. He takes this look at Jesus in verse 7. He wants us to experience what he sees. Verse 7 says, behold, he is coming with clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it shall be. Amen. Now Jesus is talking in, is stepping in verse 8. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty. He tells John in verse 11 to write in the book. John says in verse 12, I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, Jesus speaking to him, having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed in a robe reaching to his feet, girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were like white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand, he had seven stars. Verse 17. This is going to all make a little sense in a minute. Verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. If you and I are going to be overcomers in practice, not in principle, you're going to have to see Jesus the way John sees Jesus, the way he saw Jesus. This is not Jesus all meek and mild. This is Jesus not in a manger. This is not the Jesus in the manger. This is Jesus on fire. He says, like the burning of a furnace. He says, like he spoke, and it was like rushing of many waters, like oceans and seas, thundering and roaring. He says, when I saw this Jesus, he knocked a brother off his feet. I fell down like a dead man. See, we don't have this what we call wimpy Jesus. And that's not the overcoming Jesus that I'm speaking about. Because we really don't understand who Jesus is since his resurrection and ascension. When John was writing, Jesus has already died, already rose, and already gone back to heaven. And when we see this, and when he sees this Jesus, who is now up in heaven, this Jesus is in charge. This Jesus is in control. In the book of Colossians, it says, I didn't write that, I'll give that to him, so you may want to write that down. Colossians 2 and 15, it says, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. So the reason why the devil can defeat us, because he can deceive us into thinking there are still bullets in the gun. But what Jesus did on the cross, scripture says, is he disarmed him. He took away the authority. So now you've been beaten by deception that feels like reality, looks like reality, and seems like reality. That is why Romans 8 and 37 says that you are more than conquerors in him who loved us and gave himself for us. Then you go to John 16 and 33 says, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Now I'm gonna throw some more scriptures at you. I know y'all don't like all these scriptures, but I'm giving to you anyway because nobody can explain what's going on. Romans 5 and 10. I just want to make sure. I just want to keep you woke now. Romans 5 and 10 says, God demonstrated his love toward us, and while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Then he said in verse 8, verse 10 says, and we are saved or delivered by his life. Now, John is telling us all of this before he gets to really talking about being an overcomer in Revelations 2 and Revelations 3. He wants us to see how we can, of ourselves, how what he saw, he saw as a reality in his day. So it's not a special event that was only good for back then. This is good for us today. So the overcoming comes with Jesus' life. If you're looking at Jesus the wrong way, you're looking at the one big enough to dispense what is needed to move you out of the stall situation. When he says stall situations, you've been in situations sometimes for a long time. Sometimes it's for weeks, sometimes for months. But he's trying to get us to a fact that we don't have to be in this stall situation. If you are believing Jesus Christ, we don't have AAA. Some of you have AAA in your cars, right? Okay, whatever AAA means, you got that. But what we have is something much greater than AAA. We have triple G. God, God, and more God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have triple G. And what he wants you to know, wants me to know, is when you begin to look at him differently and relate to him as a risen Christ, who has ascended already, who is now functioning with fire in his eyes, not a soft skin, but hair like wool, the voice like thunder. That is who you are dealing with. And that is who we must relate to. You want to know the truth about something? Your problem is not too big. I don't care how long it's been there, that God is not big enough to take care of it. If you're dealing with an addiction, I don't care what the addictions may be or how long you had them, God has already overcome that. Your circumstances, I don't care how long you had it or how big it is, Let me make one this clear. On the cross, Jesus Christ lifted the sins of the whole world for all men, for all times, on Calvary. So, what is the size of your problem? We are dealing with somebody who handled the world and its sin and its accompanying circumstances. So it may be bad, but not that bad. If you want to experience the victory, you have to view Jesus for who he truly is, and that is to view Jesus the way John saw him. How can we obtain this power? It is, like Sister Sheila said, it's good. Sister Sheila always said that, he says it's like having a big bag of potato chips with a large slush Pepsi Cola. Because I don't want to, he said, because I don't want to be an overcomer anymore. We want to be over ones that's doing the overcoming. Revelations 12 and 11. And they overcame him. There's our word, because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. That one verse will shift how you relate to Jesus. When you shift how you relate to Jesus, he shifts how he relates to you. Because now you are relating to him as he is, not as you want him to be. It says they overcame him, referring to Satan. They overruled him. They prevailed against him. When these three things were in place, these three things can be summed up in one word, and that was with their identification with Christ. When they properly identified with Christ, they prevailed. God places victory in your reach, not in your hand. That's a big difference. Overcoming is in your reach. You can get it, but it is not in your hand. When some people come to church and they want God to drop victory in their hand, God puts victory within their reach. Because he needs you to see you exercise your faith to get it in your hands. You can talk about it all day. You can pray about it all day. Come to church all day. But if you don't grab what he has provided for you, you don't get what you could have. He says they prevailed, they overcame because of their, number one, identification with the cross, number two, the confession, and number three, with the commitment. It means that they began by the blood to understand that the cross 2,000 years ago was relevant right now. Too many people said the cross was an historical event. Jesus died on the cross. I believe he died for my sins. I accepted him as my Savior. And because of that, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. That's all true. That's all true. But these people are overcoming him by the blood in the present of this text. They are not just overcoming him because the blood worked 2,000 years ago. The blood of Jesus works in us right now, today. That is why Paul described his identity in Galatians 2 and 20. He said, I am right now crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it's Christ who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who lived in me and gave himself for me. He says, if you want to look at my life now, I am controlled by the cross. Meaning that I control by the work that Jesus Christ did over 2,000 years ago that affects my decision-making in this present time. It is my current point of reference. It is what Jesus did over 2,000 years ago which is why he left us with communion. Remember, when you have communion, it says, as often as you do this, in remembrance of me. If you don't make it relevant today, it becomes a 2,000-year-old event that you'll benefit from eternity, but it will be useless to you in time, in reality, because you're still looking at it as a special event back over 2,000 years ago. In other words, what Jesus accomplished on the cross, which was why he said when he got up from the dead, he said in Matthew 28 and 19, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Simply meaning, says, I am in charge now. I am calling the shots. So if he is not in charge, you don't get to overcome. He says they overcame him by the words of their testimony. And you see, don't fall asleep yet. I'm coming. Listen to this. You will not overcome whatever you're needing to overcome if you are a secret agent Christian. You've heard that term before. We all understand that. If you are riding the fence undecided, you are not going to be an overcomer. Because Jesus Christ, with fire in his eyes, is not trying to help people to overcome who are embarrassed to be associated with him. He says, you deny me before men. He says, I'll deny you before my Father. Matthew 10, he says, you confess me before men, and I will confess you before my Father. The words of their testimony, let me say it another way. Trying to camouflage it by talking about, I believe in God, won't cut it. Just using God's name won't cut it. God has placed everything in the hands of his Son. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God. So the Father is glorified when Jesus is the superstar, when Jesus is numero uno. Then he says, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. They overcame him because of the love relationship that they possess with him that transcends dying. Amen. Now, that's some serious love, when it transcends dying, but it's not unusual. Most parents, if they had to, would give their life for their children. Most parents, because of the depth of their love, you have men who would give their life for their mate because of the depth of their love, if it were the choice between the two. So in the human level, we know what it is to sacrifice the life for love, to be an overcomer because he got fire in his eyes. You are not just a place, telling Jesus, you're not just a place I go to on Sundays to meet you. He said, you are my life. The word says, if any man will be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There is this understanding that I'm pursuing a relationship with somebody that I really want to fall in love with, more than life itself. In other words, this is a serious commitment, but you probably got some serious stuff to overcome. So this is not casual Christianity here. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, you don't go looking for death. You don't go wishing for death, but he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul says, I don't know whether to stay here or to go home to be with Christ. If I stay here, I'm going to serve Christ. If I die, I'm going to be with Christ. And if I suffer, he says, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not is not worthy to be compared to the glory which I shall be revealed unto me. And that's when he goes to heaven. So he is saying, I am in a win-win situation because it's all Christ. So if I've got to be rejected, it's because of Christ. If I got to be misunderstood, it's because of Christ. If I got to be liked, unliked by people, it's because of Christ. Then that's the way it is. He just settled in his heart the same way we have to settle in the heart. I'm going to serve God. He's number one. I love him. I have to have that love relationship, because I tell you what, the way what's going on in this world now, you got to have some love of Christ in you. He wants us to gain that relationship now, because things are going to get worse. He said, you must change your look. You must look at Jesus now differently. As a sovereign, on fire Lord who now rules. And if you understand that, I have already overcome, and you are walking through this thing that you need to overcome. It's sin or circumstances, doesn't matter. But you're looking at me and you say, okay, Jesus, I thank you. You have already overcome this. You have already overcome this, overcome my emotions. You have already overcome my circumstances. You have already overcome my pain. You have already overcome my addiction. I just want to thank you and that I have already overcome. So the question that I ask first, are you truly overcome? I think those are the title. Yeah, I have truly overcome. Then I ask another question. Some hands went up that raised the hand, says they're truly overcome, but they still have circumstances, things going in their life. This is the part that when we leave here, I pray that we have truly overcome. Because he says, I'm sweating and I'm tired, but I'm more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I just want to give you glory because I am focused on the news of heaven during my struggle here on earth. I know the devil's been slamming you. I know circumstances have been beating you. I know sins have been owning you. I know it looks like the devil is controlling you. But Jesus Christ on the cross has already prescribed that you are a winner. He has already prescribed by the relationship to him. You are an overcomer. Satan no longer has control over you. He has already prescribed that the greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. Those people don't control you. Whoever's trying to control you, they have no control of you anymore. And all we can say is, Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you for letting us and setting our minds straight. Because we know for you I live, for you I die. And we understand that we don't go looking for death. We don't go seeking to kill ourselves, but we know it doesn't matter because God has control of everything. If I stay here, he said, I'm going to serve you. If I die, I'm going to be with you. So we're in a win-win situation. So when situations and things come against you, you have to look. You look down. You look to, well, he's under your feet anyway, but you look up and say, Lord, I thank you, but what's your work? The work that you did on the cross, the way you were dead, you're raised, and you're up on, I look up to you. You are going to get me through this. I am an overcomer. I don't care how bad it is, saints, you are overcomers. You look at Jesus the way, that's why he didn't go to the Revelation 2, the second chapter, the third chapter. That's talking all about overcoming. He wants you to see how you ourselves this day and time can get to be overcomers. And that's by looking at Jesus Christ the same way he viewed him when Jesus spoke to him on the Isle of Patmos. Amen. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father.